This is Pastor Bill Woods, and I wanted to share with you today a story from Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. It's a really nice story. I'm going to call it The Mysterious Stranger. Actually, it's a picture of life. We go there and we see two people are trudging along the road to Emmaus. Emmaus is a community about 7 miles out of Jerusalem. They look so down and dejected, and they, as you go along, they're trying to make sense of all that's happened during the week. They've been in Jerusalem for the Passover. Now they're heading home. When they'd gone to Jerusalem, they had no idea of what was about to happen. They went to rejoice over the Passover, and there was a wonderful experience that had happened. The followers of Jesus Christ had a triumphal entry into Jerusalem. We call it Palm Sunday. Jesus was riding on a little donkey, and the people were rejoicing with singing hallelujah, praise God, Hosanna, and just had a very wonderful atmosphere. They were laying their clothes down before their little donkey, and they were waving palm branches and rejoicing. They thought the Messiah was there to deliver them from the bondage that Rome had them under. Anyhow, the people that rejoiced on that day on Sunday, many of them were crying for Christ's blood by Thursday. Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was taken to several illegal trials. In Roman law, any trial that was done during the nighttime was illegal. And they had come up with all kinds of lies and witnesses. And they'd taken Jesus to Pilate. Pilate found no fault in him, but ultimately he was turned back to be crucified. He was first whipped and tortured, and then crucified and dead and laid in a grave. And these people could not imagine what had all happened, what an ordeal that they had been through. You know, it's like a picture of life, because we're all heading towards home, and we all experience horrific ordeals from time to time. We don't know who these two were. We do know that one was named Cleopas, and we're not told the name of the other person. One source thought that they might be husband and wife, and the second person might be Mrs. Cleopas. You know, I like that idea. I like the idea of God walking with couples as they travel hand in hand along the road of life. We're all traveling the road of life, and we're all going to end up, you know, someday dying, and if the Lord doesn't come back to get us first, and we've got to be ready. I remember, and I'm showing my age now, but I remember the Watergate trials, and Senator Sam Ervin used to get up and start every day with, "My fellow travelers to the tomb." Well, that's what we are. We're all travelers to the tomb. Well, let's see how this story resembles life. It's a road on which, for one reason or another, we all tend at times to feel sad. In Luke 24:17, we have a stranger coming up to this couple as they walk, and he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" What a waste Christ's death seemed to be. And they told the stranger, "We don't understand what happened. They killed our friend, our Messiah that we thought was going to come and deliver us. They killed him. He was so young. He was energetic. He was popular. He was exciting. He did all kinds of miracles and healed people, and people would go to hear him by the multitudes, hear him preach. He had fed people with a little boy's lunch. Now he was dead." You know, often things happen that we can't make sense out of because we can't see them from God's perspective. I remember when we lived in Seattle that we would go up from time to time into the Space Needle. Now, on the ground, ground level, you couldn't see anything around Seattle except what was in the immediate vicinity. And usually it was buildings or things. And you just couldn't see what was there. You couldn't get a perspective. But when you got up to the top of the Space Needle, it changed everything, because now you could see out on the Puget Sound. You could see the boats and things that were out there. You could see Mount Rainier over in the distance, and that was beautiful. You could turn around, you could see Seattle and all the houses and buildings and things like that. It was a whole different perspective. You know, God sees a different perspective than we do about things that are happening in our lives too. We'd realize if we could see things the way God does, we'd realize the beauty of what's happening to us, how all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. But you know, we don't see how it's all working together. We have a tendency to stop sometimes and feel sorry for ourselves and complain about our lot in life, how things just never seem to go right. You know, because we don't see things, we don't understand how God is working things together. I read an old illustration that I had in my files that I thought was worth sharing. It happened on May 11th, 1996. Domingo Pacheco was on a tight schedule. He had to catch a plane out of Miami to get to some convention he was going to. But as he sped along the road, the left rear tire of his Cadillac blew. He was on the Palmetto Expressway. For an hour, he sweated under the broiling sun, trying to get the tire changed and trying to get where he needed to be. But as he finished, you know, he knew that he had missed his airplane now and was really disgusted. His mother called on his cell phone and said, "Where are you?" And he said, "I'm stuck on the freeway changing a flat tire. I've missed my flight." She shouted, "Turn your radio on and thank God the plane that you were going to be on crashed in the Everglades." Domingo Pacheco would have been aboard the Valuejet Flight 592 except for that flat tire. You know, normally thanking God for a flat tire seems crazy, but we're to give thanks in all things, according to Scripture. Good doesn't necessarily mean health. Not all Christians are healthy. It doesn't necessarily mean wealth. Not all Christians are wealthy. I can testify to that. God's purpose for you isn't to be healthy, happy, rich, or famous, as modern theology tries to tell us. God's purpose is found in Revelation 8:29. It says, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Paul said, "We've been predestined to be conformed to the image of God's Son." God's purpose for you is that you be like Jesus. You know, we need to learn to trust God for what he's accomplishing, for all his blessings he gives to us. I was reading about a man that was flying a balloon up in the, you know, of course, in the air. After two failed attempts at landing, a balloonist panicked. Frantically, he searched for a third spot to attempt a touchdown, but all he could see for miles was thick woods, trees, trees, and more trees. He had only half of one tank of propane left. Nevertheless, he felt his only option was to hit the burners and try to find a clearing. Nearly paralyzed with fear, he cried out to God, "Help me, God, take control of this situation. Lord, find me a safe place to land." With that prayer, a feeling of calm came over him. His fingers unclenched, and he felt a wave of peace. Even so, the landscape below sped by, and he had no idea where his ground crew might be. Then he spotted a small clearing directly ahead, and in it, though, were two of the biggest bulls that he had ever seen. "Lord, I trust you to find me a safe place to land, and I trust you completely with these bulls." He held on tightly as the basket hit the ground roughly, tipped over, and was dragged along the ground for about 50 yards. To his amazement, the bulls seemed oblivious to all the commotion. Almost instantly, his ground crew came racing toward him. One of them said, "You got caught in some nasty wind shear. It's a miracle you kept control." The balloonist knew the true miracle. The true miracle was that he had given up control to God. God may not always answer our prayers the way we think they ought to be answered, but God does answer. And when we give up all the control and simply trust him, he will handle any obstacle that gets in our way. Once we quit worrying and complaining and start praising, it'll change our perspective. Years ago, I read a kind of a homely illustration, but I think it gives an idea of what I'm trying to talk about. It said there was this moth that was eating through one of these rag rugs, you know, the rugs made out of all kinds of material, all different colors and everything, all weaved and braided together. Anyhow, this moth was down here eating, and he was having a good time as long as he was in the bright colors. He enjoyed himself. All was well with the world if it was yellow and white and the bright colors. But when he hit the drab colors, the grays and the dark browns and the blacks, it became kind of more than he could even imagine eating through. Everything just seemed to be so drab and discouraging. One day, though, he flew up on the chandelier above the rug, and he was able to look down, and he saw something he had not seen before, that there was a pattern in the colors, and they complemented each other, and it made a very beautiful sight. And he couldn't see it while he was down there eating one color at a time, but when he saw the whole perspective at once, he realized what a beautiful thing that was. You know, God sees our lives that way. We must learn to trust Him in any and all circumstances. We're on a road on which all of us may meet a mysterious stranger who knows the answers to all our problems and offers us His tender friendship. Luke chapter 24, verse 18 says, "Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, 'Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days?'" These two people on the road to Emmaus couldn't imagine that this stranger didn't know what was going on. They felt like total losers because of what had happened. Luke 24, 19 through 21 says, "And he said to them," meaning the stranger, Jesus, "'What things?' So they said to him, 'The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and their rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened.'" They'd invested their hopes, their dreams, their trust, their plans in Jesus Christ. Now, as far as they know, he was dead and gone. Had they been scammed? Had they been duped? How could the bottom have fallen out so completely and so quickly? Where could they go from here? Notice, Jesus Christ wasn't very far away. And you know, when we're going through hard places, Christ is not far away. He's aware of what we're going through, and he knows how to help us too. We're actually all a bunch of losers. I remember, you know, many times when I was growing up and even into my adult life, I had plans and ambitions that I hoped would come about, and they just didn't happen. They didn't materialize. I can remember how I, ever since the fifth grade, had planned someday to go live in Alaska. And in my ministry, I had had about 15 different calls to take churches in Alaska. I wanted to go, but I was always in the midst of some kind of a church problem or a building program and was not able to get free, and so never made it to Alaska. You know, I felt like I had lost out. Most of us feel losers, like losers, and that's true. Sometimes that's good. We have to come to the place in our lives before we surrender to God and let Him make us winners. You know, the Apostle Paul, while he was Saul of Tarsus, thought he was a winner, thought he was on the right side, but one day on his way to Damascus, God knocked him off his horse and talked to him, and he discovered he was not on the right side. He was on the wrong side, and he was on the losing side. He changed sides and became a winner. Thank God for failure, because it'll drive us right to Him. You know, sometimes we don't realize this fact. Getting back to the thought about Alaska, I didn't get to go there, but I know that God has directed us in every place we've lived, and God's plans are so much better than ours. Luke 24, 25 through 31, talking again about the mysterious stranger, or Jesus. He said to them, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. You know, Jesus puts things in proper perspective when we let him into our lives, into our homes. He can meet our needs. He can give us strength that we need today. They came to the fork in the road, and Jesus indicated that he would go on a different direction. They asked him to spend the night at their place because it was getting late. It was going to be dark soon. And so they went home, and they got the supplies out. They served him supper. But the interesting thing is, though he was a guest there, he took over the duties of the host and broke the bread and distributed the bread to them. And then as he did this, they suddenly recognized him. You know, that's what he promises he will do to us, too. In Revelation 3:20, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me." What an experience these two had when they finally figured out that they had actually been with Jesus Christ. Suddenly, their lives took on new meaning, new purpose. What they had done before wasn't wasted. Jesus would help them piece together the pieces of their lives. They couldn't stay there in Emmaus any longer. They got up and they started the 7-mile trek back to Jerusalem to let the disciples know exactly what had happened. Isn't it interesting how after Jesus revealed himself to them, he disappeared? But listen to their conversation after this wonderful experience. They said, "Didn't our hearts feel strangely warm as he talked with us on the road and explained the scripture to us?" That's Luke 24:32. Every need that they had was satisfied. You know, we worry, we fret, we borrow trouble, we think God has forgotten us, but Jesus Christ satisfies. He can and will satisfy your needs today too. Often what we think is difficult, almost impossible situations to cope with, just might be the exact thing we need to strengthen us and give us victory. This couple had been through some very harrowing and turbulent times that week, but what a difference now that Jesus Christ had calmed the turbulence. You know, turbulent times can help us be overcomers if we will let them. They don't have to let us be defeated. We can rise above them. I was reading about how eagles fly in the wind and stuff, and the turbulence of the wind, how it can cause an eagle to fly higher. You know, I got to thinking, that's like us. Life's troubles could cause the Christian to seek closer fellowship with the Lord. Troubles should cause us to fly higher. The second thing, turbulent winds give the eagle a larger view. When our lives are touched by troubles and we flee to God, as we begin to see the reason and result of our lower living, and we want to live closer to God. Turbulent winds then lift the eagle above the harassment from other birds of prey. As we walk with the Lord, it is difficult, if not impossible, for us to be harassed by the troubles or troubler of life. The closer I live to Jesus Christ, the less opportunity Satan has to defeat me. You know, turbulent winds then allow eagles to use less effort when they fly. We struggle the most when we live in lower spiritual altitudes. If we draw nigh to God, we will find how really simple life is meant to be. Turbulent winds allow the eagle to stay up longer. When we experience fellowship with God, His peace, His comfort and love, there will be a desire to remain close to Him. When troubles come, we learn immediately to stretch forth our wings and fly high into the presence of the Lord. Then it said, turbulent winds help the eagle to fly faster. You know, the more we soar above the cares and troubles of life, the more effective we will be in accomplishing the work God has called us and every Christian to do, glorifying Him and evangelizing the world in which we live is the work that God wants us to do for Him. He goes before us. Don't worry about tomorrow. Live for today. Then this is the picture of the road that leads home at last. I'm intrigued that when they reached their destination, Jesus was able to answer all their questions as to why. You know, when we reach our destination, we'll find out why too. One day, He'll answer our questions, and it'll make sense, and I think it'll be beautiful. One of my favorite hymns is, "It Will Be Worth It All When We See Christ." The chorus goes, "It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ." And then there's another chorus that the Gaithers wrote. I've just got the chorus. I think there's some verses too. But it's called, "It Will Be Worth It All." It goes like this. "It will be worth it all just to see His face when He takes us for His own. Then 10 million years to sing amazing grace. It will be worth it all when we get home." What a tremendous day that will be when we stand in the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and know that what we had to go through here on earth is past. It'll seem so small when we see the significance of an eternity with Jesus Christ. You know, if you don't know Him as your personal Savior, I would suggest that you accept Him. Accept Him now. The Bible says if we repent and confess our sins to Jesus Christ, that we can be forgiven of our sins and our names can be put in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I would like to think that you too would join Jesus and Christians in heaven to be with Him for all eternity. Can I pray with you? Dear Jesus, thank You so much for the story of the Emmaus Road and how these people were so down. But Lord, how You brought them victory. And I'd pray, Father, when we have rough times, when we don't understand what's going on, when we get discouraged, that we can find there's victory in You. And that, Lord, one day it will be worth it all when we stand before You and confess You as our Lord and Savior and hear You say, "Enter into the things prepared for those who love Me." Now, Jesus, there are people out here that might be listening to this voice today that don't know You as their personal Savior. And I would ask Jesus that they would pray, "Please God, forgive me for my sins. Come into my life. I give myself to You, and I want to live to glorify You. Thank You, Jesus, for the forgiveness of sin in my life. In Jesus' name, amen." You know, I had somebody recently ask me, "Do you charge anything for your podcast?" The answer is no. The gospel was given to us freely, and I believe that I need to freely pass on the thoughts of Jesus Christ and the way He's worked for us and the fact He can save us from all sin. I need to pass it on to you freely. There have been some people that have sent some support for what we're doing here, and I thank God for that. I thank you for your support. And whatever God wants you to do, I would like to have you do it. But this is not what we're trying to do. We're trying to tell you the message of Jesus Christ and how you too can have eternal life. Now, if you want to contact me, again, my email address is lowercase revwmwoods@gmail.com. My physical address is Box 4031, Sun Valley, Arizona, 86029. That takes care of it for today. I want to say God bless you richly, and I just want to rejoice with you if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, because one day we're going to be in heaven with Him. Praise God.